The Word of God that forms the basis of our meditation is actually the reading from 1 Corinthians right before our epistle lesson. We begin at the first verse. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and at last of all, he appeared to me too, as one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. This is our text. Please be seated. We pray. Father in heaven, as we gather today, we celebrate probably one of the greatest promises that you gave, the giving of your son Jesus, who lived, died, rose again, and ascended into heaven, all for us. As we gather together today, we pray that you would continue to remind us of the promises, that where we are gathered in your name, there you'll be, that your word always accomplishes that for which it was sent. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the preaching of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Easter is about life. Hold on a second. Could you turn the back lights up for me? They're hiding. I can't see them. Yeah, there you are. Aha! Over here, too, there's a bunch of them hiding in the dark. There we go. We're not in the dark. It's Easter. Easter's about life. Life after sin and life after death. Can we talk? We can. Think like we're in my office right now. I know there's a bunch of people in the room, but I want to ask you in a way that you know I'm trying to talk specifically to you. What would you describe as the most important thing in your life? First importance. We're not talking about breathing, water, food, shelter. We'll assume that all of us value that, otherwise we wouldn't have physical life. But as we live the physical life, and again, I'm talking to you, where you're at, how you're living, how you're processing life right now, what would you say is the most important thing? Of most importance. It's okay, I can't read your mind. For all I know, you're saying something that you'd be embarrassed to say out loud. That's okay. Acknowledging it is what's important. To know the things that I value. Why? The most important thing, one would say, is a core. It's a heart issue. It's the basis and center of who I am. And therefore, what I do flows out of those important things. Something of first importance has you coming back again and again because you can't live without it. Some of you may have picked something. When you think about it from that perspective, you could actually live without it. You have a cell phone. Can you put it down for a day? You think, oh, what would I do without that cell phone? Trust me, if that cell phone fell in the toilet or you lost it, would you die? No. Sometimes we will want to put in our family or our friends. Very, very important. But if something goes wrong with your job, if something goes wrong with your health, do you stick a fork in yourself and say, that's it, I'm done? There's no more reason for me to live. What is of most importance in your life? That's what gives you hope for the future. That's what gives you purpose for your life. Now, of course, if you were to ask the Apostle Paul, which we're going to do, he answers the question for all of us. Most important is Jesus. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again. Nothing else comes close. Again, family, work, citizenship, all these things are important. But Jesus brings new meaning to them. Jesus helps us process other important things, including our cell phones. But Jesus, especially his death and resurrection, boy, they are the foundation for life. He's the basis of what we do and who we are. Easter is the heart and core of what Christians believe. For 2,000 years, the message that has been handed down, first by eyewitnesses and then through family sharing the faith, is the simple, he has risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's what keeps me coming back week after week. That's what really holds the church together. Jesus does. It isn't about a building. It isn't about a wonderful processional. But by the way, that's pretty cool. I like that. It's not about the pastor. It's not about money. Jesus, alive, active among us. That's what we connect to. We can't live without him. And all of our hopes are tied up in him. You see, Jesus gives us the reason to live. Gives us a purpose in life. I'm still talking to you. Jesus is the most important thing. It's not just one day after another for no good reason. Getting up in the morning, going about the day, coming back home, going to bed. Jesus is a reason that this is the day the Lord hath made, and we rejoice and we're glad in it. It's why we get up in the morning. It's why we're able to go to bed at night in peace. It's because of Jesus and what he has done. Each day, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ becomes more and more alive. We know this as maturing and getting older. I mean, this can't be the first Easter service for some of you. You're hearing it different because things in your life have changed. You're hearing yet again the opportunity to stop and say, you know, Jesus is the most important thing. It's the most important event that happened in history, and frankly, nothing else compares. Nothing is as important as Jesus. Are you still with me? Because we know what happens next, don't we? We go home. It was a great day. It was a fun time. Wonderful hearing all the voices, didn't you think? And yet we end up walking out, and what happens? Life takes over. And Jesus is pushed out of that first important spot in our lives. Is it fair to say that there are too many days that we barely even think about him, let alone have him as the most important thing? What happens to the Easter celebration? What happens that makes it seem of so little importance? Well, we don't live in a world that helps us. It's at odds with us, in fact. Every year it seems like they're going to come up with another documentary. They're going to come up with another special. They're going to research again this idea that they may have found the crypt of Jesus or some other aspect that would seek to bring doubt into the fact that he died, but more importantly, that he rose from the dead. Forget the eyewitness accounts. We've got a newsflash. We found something. Pay attention. We begin to wonder, was Pastor Emmons just making this stuff up? Or is it real? Does it really happen? This isn't anything new. For 2,000 years, the church has been attacked. We're quite frankly just plain ignored. Over time, that's how the resurrection begins to take in a sense of being maybe not as significant. And then you know what happens? Life just doesn't always seem to be that special. One day runs into the next day. We find ourselves being caught up in this activity or that activity. If Jesus isn't a part of that conversation, it's any wonder that life begins to wear us down because the focus turns more and more into ourselves. It seems like we don't have enough time. We're too busy to bring Jesus into it. After all, you know about Jesus. What more can I offer to you today? You already knew what I was going to talk about before you came in here. And yet that's what happens in our minds. We begin to think that paying bills, as important as it is, that Jesus doesn't fit into that. Maybe you're struggling with some family troubles, financial problems, addictions. And then if nothing big or new happens, it just seems to be the same old stuff. Life goes on. You begin to wonder why I'm here. What's my purpose? What's my reason? So little importance for Jesus. A family gathered here in this sanctuary. It was for the funeral of Marilyn Oeschlager. All the windows were blocked up. The altar was black. The cross was covered. That was an environment where what's really important was clear for all. Mourning the loss of a loved one, where do we find hope? Remember when I asked you to think about what's important to you, what's first important? Does that stuff really matter when you're dealing with the enemy death? And your heart says, I couldn't do anything to fix it. She's gone. Now what? What brings us hope? But Jesus. That's what Paul is saying. The resurrection is of first importance because it changes how we look and how we process life. Cell phones can come and go. Jobs can come and go. But you have one life to live. And when that moment becomes yours, what is going to bring you comfort? What is going to bring you hope? What do you want your children to know? Paul nails it. It's a death and resurrection of Jesus. And you know what happens then? He starts listing the eyewitness accounts. And this is important. Recorded in history, Paul writes that Jesus appeared to Peter, the apostles, 500 people at one time, a lot at Paul's day that were still alive. James, and then finally Paul. No question about it for these eyewitnesses. Jesus' resurrection was the first important. What did they do? They lived each day in the power and presence of Jesus, in their prayers, in their service to each other. It was a time of purpose and hope. Why? Because Jesus changed everything. He gave them a firm foundation, a purpose, and a reason for being in life and doing the things that we do. And that brought them back again and again because it was the heart and core for the family to talk about, to celebrate, to fellowship about Jesus Christ and Him risen from the dead. I don't know, were you excited about singing the songs, the loud? Wasn't that kind of cool when we were all together, when you saw the kids, everybody coming in, putting the flowers? That's fellowship. That's what God does with all of us that we can't do by ourselves. He builds us together in experience. And he did that with those first disciples too. Now, we can't see the risen Lord with our own eyes. There was no excitement when you came in the room and it was dark. You knew what was going to happen, didn't you? How does Jesus become the first important thing now for us? We didn't have that experience. How do we get Jesus back as number one? If we're still listening and we're still talking, I want to give you some practical advice. Some of you know that when you tell me about answered prayers or things that happened to you in your life, guess what happened this last week? I tell you, the people that tell me this stuff, mark that day on your calendar. Get out a highlight pen, whatever day it is, and highlight that day, because you're going to forget that prayer was answered. You're going to forget that experience. Life is going to want to rob you of it. Life is going to tell you it doesn't matter. Don't forget it. Can you imagine 25 years from now, you'll have a calendar which pretty much every day of the week is filled out with a yellow marking on it, and you go, oh, I remember. You're going to have more days where Jesus is answering your prayers than days where you feel lost and alone, because Jesus is of first importance. And we're practically doing something to remember that. You know what else we can do? We can do what Paul did, what Peter and the rest of the disciples did. They didn't just live in the moment and in the memory, but they kept coming back. They kept talking. They kept encouraging each other. They kept listening. They opened up the Old Testament and began to see how many promises were fulfilled in Christ. They listened to the teaching of the early apostles. That's what the church always does. We stand together. We confess our faith together. This is what we believe. We baptize in the name of Jesus. We proclaim Jesus in our sermons. We actually celebrate Easter every Sunday. It's a day to remember what Jesus accomplished for us. And that's what brings us back. In the service yesterday, one of the things I talked about was that Marilyn struggled with dementia. She couldn't tell you what today was. She couldn't talk about global warming, who she was going to vote for the president. Couldn't talk about things that probably occupy our minds as we try to figure out who's going to win the Final Four. How are those Royals doing? But you know what she did remember? Every time I said the creed with her, her lips would repeat it. When I pray the Lord's Prayer, her lips would repeat it. She remembered that which was most important. She remembered who her Savior was. She learned how to rejoice in the day that the Lord hath made and to be glad in it. You don't have to come to church to do that. I'm glad that you did. But you can do this at work, at school. You can do it at home with your family in the car. While you're driving around, just factor in the idea, what's important to me? Because that's going to determine how I think and how I live. It's not just another day. It's another day with Jesus. It's another day that he has made. What a day it becomes when Jesus is of first importance. When we left the cemetery, do you know what the last words we said to each other were? He is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.